Well, good morning. It is lovely to see you here. It's lovely to see you here, and you are very welcome this morning. And welcome if you're joining with us at home. It's great to have you with us as we worship Jesus together. For those of you who are here in the building, if this is your first time back in a while, you're especially welcome. It's great to have you here. And great to have children as we meet. Meeting in Sunday Picnic and in the Ark in the Halls too. Just a reminder, as we must, of these things, we're meeting with all correct mitigations in place, so we're 2 meters apart and we're wearing our masks all the way through, and we're singing, but we're singing softly. You don't have to sing softly at home, but do sing softly here. And when we come to the end, do leave, if you're at the front, through these doors at the front here, at the back, through the back door where Alistair is. Do say hello to people afterwards, but don't hang around too long doing that, and do try and stay 2 meters apart and wear your masks as you chat to folks and say hello at the end. I want to spend a few minutes just at the start with a number of announcements, tell you about a number of things, and that quite a lot of them revolve around magazines or books or things. So the first thing, let me flash up, is the Presbyterian Herald. And actually, Patrick, I've got your copy here, but I've got sanitized hands. You can grab it from me later. Presbyterian Herald, for all those who subscribe, there's a copy available. And if you want to read it, it's available free online too. Look out for Gordon's article. Gordon's written about life at Union College just at the moment, and the changes and the hope and the future that's all taking place. So do read that and lots of other good stuff in the Herald. The second thing we've been flagging up for a couple of weeks is 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world, which has just begun. And there are still booklets just out in the hub. As you come through, you can pick up and pray along, or you can get the prayer points daily on the Facebook page. I want to play you a very short video, sort of two and a half minute video from OMF. That's a mission organization. It's in fact the organization that John and Burita are out in Japan with. And they've produced just this short video about Ramadan, which is a time of fasting for Muslims, and its significance across the world. Now, you and me, it maybe doesn't factor hugely here in Belfast, but in Bangalore, for example, where Heather was and Reaching Hand is, there are twice as many Muslims as Christians. In Nairobi, where the Mwangis are, 10% of the population are Muslims. And of course, across the world, not least in Southeast Asia, where this video is based, many people who follow the path of Islam. This video gives you a little taste just of what Ramadan, this month of fasting, is like for Muslims across the world as we pray. Have a watch of this. Thank you. just a taster of what's a very different experience of life, clearly, than many of us have. But as the video notes at the end, we prayerfully want to be a blessing to Muslims. And for many Muslims, Ramadan is a time of heightened spiritual awareness, with time in prayer and meditation. There's a calling on us to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the wonderful news to all people of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Heather's going to lead us a little bit in prayer later on. And John Hamilton, let me mark this in your diaries on Wednesday night for our Wednesday prayer video. We'll help us think about this again and refer to that video. Third thing I want to wave around is about life groups. Life groups are back from tonight, and they're beginning a series on Proverbs along with what we're thinking about on Sunday mornings. I'll talk more about Proverbs later, but there are books if you're in a life group to pick up. You can either pick them up there or get one from your leader. And if you want to join a life group, do let me know. I'd love to put you in one. And maybe just on the theme of life groups, a little news from PCI, the Presbyterian Church on Ireland, the headquarters came through on Friday, just talking about a little bit more of easing of restrictions for us, which will allow groups to meet in person in the church building for prayer and Bible study. Not for anything else yet, but for prayer and Bible study together with all the right mitigations. So that will allow a little bit of opportunity for youth groups and for life groups to meet over the coming weeks. And I'll be in touch with leaders about that. The final thing I want to say at this point, and this doesn't involve me waving anything around, but is a thank you. I want to take a moment to thank three people who are standing down from serving us in particular ways. Kevin Maguire and Patrick Buchanan both feel the time is right for them to step down from being active elders here at St. Field Road. And we want to thank them. We want to thank them so much for their humble, prayerful, diligent service in that regard. There's no retirement in the kingdom, is there? But there are different stages of life in which God continues to bless us and enable us to be a blessing to others in different ways. And we pray for every blessing for Kevin and Patrick. And talking of retirement or not, we also want to thank Victor Corrie, who has stepped down from being on congregational committee. I don't know quite how long Victor was on committee for, or how long he was on session before that, and he's a little reluctant to tell me. But we're so thankful to Victor for his gracious and humble service and the use of his great gifts in many ways. You'll be glad to know he will continue to beautify the front of church with daffodils and other flowers in the planters. Let's turn to worship God, and I want to pause and read some words from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah recounts a vision he had at a particular time. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." God calls us, like he called Isaiah, to serve him and speak of him. But before he sends us out, he gathers us to worship him. We gather to worship Jesus Christ, and let's be aware of the presence of the Holy God who is among us. We're going to remain seated, but we're going to sing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." In between each verse, we're going to pause and we're going to pray. So we're going to sing this in the attitude of prayerfulness and pray to God as we do. Is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Lord God, we come to You in worship and thanksgiving. You are greater than we can understand. Open our eyes that we may see something of Your glory and truth. As we gather in the name of Jesus. Lord, You are more loving than our hearts can respond to. Help us to give ourselves to You in worship so that we may learn who and what You want us to be. Lord, You are wiser than we can know. Still our minds as we worship You so that we can hear and understand the things You are saying to us. Amen. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Lord, like Isaiah, we are convicted before You of where we have fallen short. You have asked for our mouths to speak up for what is right and against what is wrong. But all too often we've given You just a whisper, so we wouldn't be accused. You've asked for our hands to be able to use them for Your purposes. All too often we've given them for a moment and then withdrawn. You've asked for our eyes to see the pain of poverty around us and respond. But all too often we've just closed them because we didn't want to see. You've asked for our lives that you might work through us, but we've given you just a small part so that we might not get too involved. Lord, forgive our calculated efforts to serve you only when it's convenient, only where it's safe, only with those we find easy. Father, forgive us, and may we know in Christ that we are forgiven. Renew us, and send us out to live truly in the light of the cross. Amen. Amen. If you opened up your Bible pretty much in the middle, well, you might come across that passage that we just read and dwelt on from Isaiah, but a few pages back, you might well open it to the book of Proverbs. Now, a proverb in general, it's basically a short, memorable saying that has a bit of insight and wisdom for everyday life. We use them all the time, don't we? In fact, you can find them all over the internet and on social media. Here's some I Googled from around the world. Two wrongs don't make a right, we know that. Better than 1,000 days of diligent study is one day with a great teacher. Love understands all languages. What one hopes for is always better than what one has. Only a fool tests the depth of a river with both feet. The book of Proverbs is full of these sorts of memorable, practical, wise sayings. Here are some of the better known ones from Proverbs itself. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf where there's hatred. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Well, here's a couple of animal-related ones. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Oh, that's a great word, isn't it, sluggard? I think the modern translation is lazy bones. Go to the ant, lazy bones, consider her ways and be wise. And this was the best picture I could find for this one. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Now, when it comes to the book of Proverbs, we could dip into it and pull out lots of individual sayings like that, that we could understand and apply and enjoy and see the wisdom of fairly easily, couldn't we? And that's what makes it quite an attractive book for us, because it's so practical and it's so immediate, right there with great sayings. But is that all that Proverbs is? 31 chapters of random sayings lobbed together. Is it basically a bit like the internet, where you just kind of dig around and dip in and pull out some wisdom? How is Proverbs any different from reading just a self-help book, of which there are thousands on the shelves, or a website? Do these sayings hang together and have any kind of bigger purpose? How does it all fit into the Bible story as a whole? We're going to start a series this morning on the book of Proverbs. I'm going to call it Wise Up. Wise Up. And that's going to run through there or thereabouts to the summer. As we go through today, I'll tell you a little bit more about what it's going to look like and how it can help us as we think about Proverbs. But I want to recommend to you a couple of great resources. One is the Bible Project video on Proverbs. We've looked at some Bible Project videos before. Very simple to find it. You just Google Bible Project Proverbs. Or you go to the BibleProject.com website and look up Proverbs there. It's a brilliant 8-minute introduction on what Proverbs is about. The other thing is just these study books that we're using in life groups. I've bought about 100 of these, so there's enough for life groups, and there's a few more. If you're not in a life group and you want to pick up one and use it and work through Proverbs a bit, it's great, really good for that. Do think about joining a life group too, but do pick up one of these. But I've simply called this morning Wise Up about Proverbs, and we're going to begin with the opening verses of that book to help us do that. Liz Smith is going to come and read them to us.
Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your neck, your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. For my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin and they are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Amen.
Liz, thank you. We're going to think about that passage in a moment or two, but to lead us into that, we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing Sovereign Over Us, about the sovereign God who is teaching us to trust. How do I live the good life? How do I live well? It's the question everyone has asked from the dawn of time and across the world, isn't it? Whether it's the theme of the ancients, Socrates and Plato and Confucius, or whether it's getting it from lifestyle TV shows on Channel 5, that is the question, isn't it? What does living well look like? And answers abound, don't they, in books and TV and the internet and social media. Here's wisdom for living the best life. But probably the question that comes next, though, as we see all of that, is, well, who is telling me this? Who am I listening to? Does it make sense? And why should I listen to their idea of what life is about and how to live it? Proverbs, at the heart of the Bible, is all about living life well in the best ways. And it starts not actually with all those short sayings that we saw earlier that we might know it best for. Rather, it starts with three pictures showing us who is telling us here about the good life. And so how we might understand this book as a whole, and why we should listen to this above everything else. And here's the first picture. In Proverbs, we see that the king is imparting wisdom for all of living. Proverbs is part of a group of books in the Bible, as we saw a little bit when we did a Bible overview in the autumn past. Books called wisdom literature that are associated with King Solomon. You may recall Solomon, King David's son, was blessed with wisdom. We hear the story as he asked for wisdom, and he was blessed with wisdom, and he was a blessing to others in using that wisdom. He reigned at possibly a golden age of Israel in the Old Testament, when even wealthy rulers from faraway countries, like the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, came to see him and see his glory and hear his wisdom. So these wisdom literature books are all marked as books of royal kingly wisdom. Now, Proverbs probably wasn't written all by Solomon himself. As you read through the book, and I'll say this again next week when we think more about what this wisdom is, it brings together different sources of wisdom. It's probably a gathering of different people's wisdom and life experiences and reflections, including Solomon's, but others too. But it comes together as a collection that's been selected and published under the name and the authority and the endorsement of this king. So this is officially what the wise king wants to impart about wisdom, being wise. And it's wisdom for all of living in the kingdom. So across all the Proverbs you could pick out, there's wisdom for home life, for the workplace, for neighborhoods, for national leaders and governments, for all manner of relationships, family, friendships, business. It's for rich and poor, it's for young and old. It's wisdom for everyday nature and the seasonal experiences of life. Proverbs builds itself from the outset as wisdom for all of living from the wisest king, that his readers may live the truly good life in his kingdom and be a blessing to those around them. So that's one picture. The king wants to impart wisdom for all of living. The second picture of Proverbs leads on, because it's not just a collection of kingly wisdom that covers all of life. It actually has a purpose. It has a drive in Proverbs. It's not simply for attaining wisdom, like it's a big package of information, but there in verse 3, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just, fair. And the word which keeps on popping up, it's there, it's the same word, whether it's discipline or instruction, verse 2, verse 3, verse 7, verse 8. Perhaps the best way to understand that word for us at the moment is training. Training. Verse 2 mentions wisdom and discipline, and along with wisdom next week, we'll think about discipline, or what it takes to be a disciple, in a couple of weeks' time. But for now, let's work with this idea of training. The aim of Proverbs is to train people to live in the right and best ways. It's like an instructor who doesn't simply want to dump information on us, but wants to coach us in how to do it. So I'm sure you've gathered with the easing of restrictions that football training is back. Other sports are available, but football training is back. Ethan's been 3 times this week already. And so are driving lessons and tests. Coaches and instructors are back in business, training people how to play and how to drive. And that training involves a number of things. It involves knowledge, doesn't it? So getting stuff in up here about rules and tactics and the highway code and lots more. But it also involves attitudes from within, doesn't it? So it's not just information, but it's attitudes about approaching the game with the best frame of mind, respecting the road. It also means building practical skills and habits. So techniques for driving, ways of playing the ball that become more and more natural as practice and habits and disciplines form. And it's also ongoing, this training, isn't it? There's always more to learn. There's always more to learn about playing the football game, even for professionals. There's always more to learn about being a better driver, I'm told. Better habits to develop. Ongoing training helps us make increasingly better choices. See how Proverbs, in its introduction, in those verses we heard, it captures all these ideas. So there's stuff we need to take in up here. There's stuff we need to read and understand. That's why it talks about knowledge and understanding. But there's also attitudes to be challenged within by this wisdom, about being prudent, about having discretion. There are practical skills and habits to learn about what it is to be discerning, about doing what's right and what's just and what's fair. Proverbs, as somebody has said, is not about getting a master's degree so much as mastering life. Not about theoretical knowledge, but about learning how to live. And this is ongoing learning. Let the wise add to their learning, says verse 5. No one has arrived. No one's at the end of training and needs no more. This is training for all stages, from the youngest and most simple-minded to the already wise and discerning, who need to grapple with deeper riddles and dilemmas. Whatever stage we're at, we all need training in living life in the best ways. Ongoing, influential training helps us make better choices. There's a lovely example that captures this. Let me read it to you. It's Proverbs 26, 4-5. You've maybe come across these verses before. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Two seemingly contradictory verses right next to one another. And actually, we realize to start with, they're imparting a bit of head knowledge to us, aren't they? At times, we learn we shouldn't answer someone who says something stupid to us because we'll just lower ourselves to that level. And at times, we should answer them because otherwise they'll go away still thinking they're right, and that could cause them problems. And it's a bit of a brain teaser, isn't it? Because we realize that there might be different occasions for either. That's where they sit together. But more than that head knowledge, it's wanting to shape our attitudes, where we perhaps might naturally always want to speak and answer someone back, but that isn't always wise, is it? Or perhaps where we always want to shirk away from speaking, when actually it might be important that we do so. And you see, these verses are wanting to train us in the practical skill of figuring out when to speak and what to say when we do. As we think through, is it necessary to speak here? And how do I say that in a way that doesn't lower my standards? And it's ongoing, isn't it? Because we've probably never arrived with this, have we? Any of us. We constantly need to learn and be shaped in making better choices about when we should and when we shouldn't answer people. So this is a training manual, if you like. And I might say that at the end, as we'll see in 3 weeks' time, it provides a picture of what this kind of life actually looks like. Chapter 31, sometimes known as a picture of the wife of noble character, As we will see in a few weeks' time, it's not so much a tick list for married women, but an example for all of us of the best ways of living. But what's key about this training is that it comes from the instructor, instructor with a capital I, the Lord, as it says in verse 7, the creator and the sustainer of life, the expert, the ultimate coach, the one who knows everything and has a full grasp on reality and how it works. This is the instructor who wants to train us in the right ways of life. And then there's a third picture. These opening verses give us of how we're being taught about life. It's a picture of parents, of a mother and a father, often both in Proverbs, but particularly the father, sitting their son down and having a heart-to-heart. Listen, listen, let me teach you about life because I love you and I want to guide you in the paths of life. Proverbs assumes that teaching and wisdom ought to flow from a parent to a child, and that's a vital issue for all of us who are parents. But here, see how it's a picture, actually, that models the whole book itself. And interestingly, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs aren't actually those pithy sayings. Rather, they're largely made up of 10 speeches made by these parents, particularly the father, to their sons, particularly a singular son. Time and again, we read the refrain, "My son," as the father launches into this kind of loving passing on of a parent's wisdom and longing for how their son's life is best lived. It begins there in our passage in verse 8, and here the father saying, "Listen to me and your mother." I don't know if you find that familiar phrase, "Listen to me and your mother." Don't ignore what we're wanting to pass on to you. If you heed what we have to say, it will be a blessing for your life. What we're passing on to you is like a garland or a necklace, something precious that will make your life shine. But you've got to realize, out there, it's a wild world. That song, "Baby, Baby, It's a Wild World," hard to get by just upon a smile. You get a point if you can tell me who that's by afterwards. Yeah, it dates me, though. But here's the point. It's a wild world. Not everyone out there is wise. And there are many things and people that will entice you. And if you go along with them, it'll do you great harm. It'll ruin you. So listen to what I have to tell you about being wise and making good choices. Ignore it at your peril. In Proverbs, the father wants to guide his son in the paths of life. So with that in mind, see with me for a moment how Proverbs shapes up in the whole book. There's a weird picture on the screen, I think. If you can see this, chapters 1 to 9. Form the sort of prologue, introducing us to the king's wisdom for all of life, which actually indeed is the Lord's instruction, training for living. And more intimately, passage after passage, the father's guide for his son in the paths of life. And from these chapters over the next couple of weeks, we're going to think more about this idea of what wisdom is, and more about this idea of discipline or training for making good choices. And following that, in 3 weeks' time, we're going to go to the end of the book and look at this example of wisdom given to us in Proverbs 31 and the wise woman. You'll see in the middle, though, in chapters 10 to 30, they contain so much as what we think of those proverbs, those pithy sayings. They begin, actually, with a verse reminding us of the picture of parental guidance. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. As they carry on, they give lots of principles for wise living. But funny, these chapters, they don't seem to be particularly structured in themes. And we might wonder why not. Wouldn't it just been easier to say, here's a bit about this and here's a bit about this? Maybe that's an indication that life is not easily compartmentalized. And it's a lot more complex than saying, well, here's wisdom for that area and here's wisdom for that area and for this one. Nevertheless, we can draw out themes, and over the next 5 or 6 weeks, through May and June, we're going to think of what Proverbs has to say about work, family, friendship, speech, power. How does it want to impart wisdom to us, to train us, to guide us, to choose wisely and live well in these areas of life? How does it call us to wise up? But as we finish, I want to leave you with the most important takeaway from Proverbs that is clear from the outset and is what sets it apart from all other sources of wisdom, then or now. We've said it's the king's wisdom, the Lord's instruction, the Father's guidance. It's the king's wisdom, and in the context of the Bible, we know that Solomon pointed to a greater, even wiser king. Jesus said at one point, the queen of the south came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, but now someone greater than Solomon is here. He also told his disciples, the wise man puts my words into action. Now, Jesus is not saying that Solomon's wisdom in Proverbs should be disregarded now he's come. Quite the opposite. The wisdom of Proverbs is designed to point us to the true and wisest king, that we may understand these words to come with his kingly stamp, published and imparted by King Jesus, that we may understand how we live in his kingdom. It's training from the instructor, we said, the Lord. And verse 7 is a golden phrase reiterated throughout Proverbs and other wisdom literature in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or in other places, wisdom. Wisdom for living comes from first fearing. That's not being scared of, but it is recognizing and revering the Lord for who he is, the creator, the sustainer, the master of life. The fool is someone who doesn't think he has to submit to and listen to God, who thinks he's arrived without God. But wisdom, the only true way of life, begins by having a true recognition of and relationship with the Lord. And it's fatherly instruction to a son, we've said, but more widely in the scriptural story, we might think of the relationship between the father and the son, the wise life of the true son who listened to his father. And the call on us to be beloved children of the Father through that Son and live in his ways. So Proverbs is not simply kind of old school internet filled with random and various nuggets of wisdom that you can pick and choose. At the heart of Scripture, at the heart of the story where we find our story in God's story, it wants to lead us in true wisdom for all of life and to tell us, you won't find that unless you heed the King of all and listen to his words, unless you revere the Lord of life and let him take hold and shape your life, unless you listen to the loving Father and let him guide you as his son, his child. Wisdom, true life, begins not with a human search for knowledge, but through our coming to Christ. So in what are probably Proverbs' most famous verses, the Father says to us this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your paths, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Turn away from thinking you've got this alone. Turn to the one who alone knows what makes for wise living, the King. The Lord we should revere, the Father who loves us. He wants to shape our lives like the true Son with his wisdom. Pay attention and entrust your life to him. Amen. Heather is going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us all pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who desires a deep relationship with us. Thank you that you call us and train us to be your disciples. You are our loving Father who wants to guide us as your children. We thank you that you have given us your word as a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair. As the message puts the few verses of Proverbs, the Bible teaches the inexperienced the ropes and gives our young people a grasp on reality. But there's also something here for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Lord, will you deepen our desire to study your word? Continue to teach us your truths so that we can live lives that are pleasing to you and radiate your love to others. We give you thanks for Ben, who talently and faithfully illuminates your word to us each week. Bless him in his preparations. Lord, we pray for places in our world that do not have the Bible, this manual for living in their own language. And we pray for organizations like Wycliffe and Biblica who are translating and distributing your word around the world. By your Spirit, we pray that these people come to know you through reading your word in their heart language. Lord, as the 30 days of prayer has begun for Muslims during this time of Ramadan, we ask for a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit. At this time of heightened spiritual awareness for many Muslims who spend more time in prayer and meditation each day, Lord, will you clearly reveal yourself to them so that they know that you are the way, the only way, the truth, and the life, and that you provide life in all its fullness. Today we pray for the Wolof community, a West African Muslim ethnic group of whom there are 7 million across the world. We pray that they would come to know you and exchange their sorcerers for the healing power of Christ. We specifically pray for the community of 20,000 who live in New York, and thank you for Fatou. Thank you that you appeared to her in a dream and she started to read the Bible. Thank you that through this she found you. We praise you that she now boldly shares her faith, and we pray that through her witness, the first Wolof Church will be founded soon. Father, we also give you thanks for the 3 men in our congregation who have built their lives on the truths of your word. Through their lives, they radiate you and have given years of service in worship to you and for our benefit here in St. Field Road. Will you pour your blessing on Kevin McGuire and Patrick Buchanan as they step down from session, and on Victor Corrie, who steps down from committee? All 3 have used their skills and God-given talents in your service and have brought much joy and blessing to us all. May we learn from their example and offer our lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. Let us learn how to serve. Father, we thank you that our society is gradually reopening again. And we thank you for the vaccination program that's allowing this to happen. But Lord, we continue to pray for those who work in the health service, especially the members of our own church family who, after a year of dealing with this pandemic, are just exhausted. Father, we pray things will continue to improve and that they will have opportunity for rest and relaxation. But Lord, we're conscious that there are other places in the world where the situation is deteriorating. We pray for India and Kenya in particular, where cases are rising rapidly. We pray especially for the children and staff of New Home and Lighthouse Academy in Bangalore, that you would keep them safe, and for Gerald and Louise and the family in Nairobi, and ask that you would keep them safe in the midst of this third wave in Kenya. Father, we pray that if it is your will, the Transform D program can still go ahead in May. Guide all those who have important decisions to make about this. And Father, we pray the same prayer for organizations like Exodus and SU as they consider summer missions this year. Reveal your will to them and show them the way to go in the weeks and months ahead. We pray the same for John and Barita and ask that you would guide them too as Barita starts a new toddler's group. And Father, we pray the same for Session, who spent yesterday considering the direction of travel for the congregation in the next few years. Help us to be open to your leading and guiding. Will you direct our paths? Show us clearly your plans for the future, your plans to prosper us as a congregation. Thank you that you are at work for our good. Thank you for your faithfulness to us over all these years. Thank you that you are sovereign over us and that you are in total control. And finally, Father, we bring before you Her Majesty the Queen. We thank you for her strong faith in you. Will you surround her with your loving arms at this difficult time as she grieves the loss of her husband, Prince Philip? But Lord, we ask that you would bring comfort to her and all others who are grieving at this time. In the moment of silence, we bring before you people known to us who need your comforting and healing presence at this time. All these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Heather, thank you for praying and playing. And you're going to lead us now as we sing together, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
we end, we go out, God sends us out as we say the words of the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord.